Yo, this is Ziggy Marley.
Roger Mooking.
Fantastic Negrito.
Alice Fakunke.
Tamika D. Mallory.
My name is Al Gore, and you're listening to
This Moment.
This Moment.
This Moment.
This Moment.
This Moment.
This Moment.
Aya!
All right, everybody. It has been a long, hot summer, and This Moment is back. Your transatlantic bridge connecting Stockholm, Sweden, to Harlem, USA. Myself, my name is Jason Timbuktu Diakite, and here, as always, with my dear brother and co-host, Chef Marcus Samuelson. Marcus, brother, it is so good to be back in conversation with you.
Hey, man, Jason, it's always good to talk to you. I mean, I feel like I've been talking to you because I've been watching and following your tour, which we're going to get into a little bit later. That was amazing that you guys could pull off a tour during these times. And I feel like the summer of 2020 was this like strong social justice movement summer, first summer of COVID for us. And I feel like this summer, it's almost like a sophomore year in a way, right? We had experience. We are all COVID fatigued. We want this to go away. And at the same time, it's just not. Eventually, one day, not now, but eventually one day, it might be like the flu that we all go in and take a flu shot and then move forward, but we're not there yet, right? And we're trying to get everybody. It's hard to get a lot of people. It's hard to get just a family in the boat. It's hard to get everybody in the boat. And it's really showcased how uneven the world is. Like you can see that places like Sweden and the part of the U.S., everybody gets a vaccine shot quickly. And then you go to the continent of Africa, only 1% of people have it. So, but still through that, it's also been a great summer, you know, and I think that's really important to hold on to.
It's the bitter with the sweet, as life always is. And there's been, you know, massive tragedies ongoing as we speak. But at the same time, you know, I've been in a good place this summer. I feel that the winter and the spring season was really tough for myself and my family. But now I feel re-energized. Now fall is happening in Stockholm already. We go into that earlier than you. How's your summer been, Marcus?
You know, the summer has been good. We've been Zion and I've been doing a little paddleboard out east, as in SAG. We've been swimming. We've been going back and forth between out east and the city. You know, I've just been working. But it's also...
Yeah, I bet for a man like you, taking 4 weeks off work, that's not a possibility on your horizon.
No, I mean, I just never done it. It's just not what I'm... you know, like I've never had... I've had vacations and I have vacations. But, you know, I'm always... The thing is for me, it's like I'm always in my head. Like food-wise, I'm always thinking, I kind of feel stressed when I take too much time off. Like I like my time with my family, but it's always evolving and around food. And I miss not being able to go to Sweden. I miss not being able to, for 2 years now, we haven't been able to give Zion that because that was always wintertime. He was always able to go to Ethiopia and summertime he always went to Sweden. So to be able to build on those early memories and set that culture as a family is very important to us. And the minute we can do that, the better. But it's also about giving thanks and you know, so far family's good and healthy. Now we're getting Zaza back into school. And I think that, you know, it's weird this summer for me because it's the 20th year's anniversary of 9/11. And at the same time as this U.S. pulling out of Afghanistan. And when you live in New York, it's not a headline.
Right now, Marcus, I really feel like it's like crisis on crisis right now. Like it's hot spots around the world. We're reading about all summer I've been reading about the different extreme weather, what was going on in the Pacific Northwest, before the summer, and then in Europe, the floods in Europe, and to forest fires now in both Europe and in the United States.
The flood in Germany, like we've never seen Germany like that, which is, it's not worse because it's in Germany, it's just you never seen it like that, right? So that image is shocking in a way.
And I just feel like, you know, growing up very sheltered in Sweden, like you and I did in the 70s and 80s, where we'd watch on TV about crises in other countries. Of course, our parents would talk to us about that, try to bring it home. But Sweden and even the United States felt like very safe places. But now these crises, just like the movement of people, they're global. They're really starting to touch everyone. You're not safe anywhere. And my thought is, I think we're kind of in the age of crises where this is what we're going to see moving forward. And maybe I'm just being naive, and maybe it's always been like this. But to me, at least, I'm really reaching a deeper understanding of that now on the, you know, on the back of the pandemic and everything that has happened since March 15th, 2020.
And I try to balance all of this with lighter stuff. That's for me why food and music is so important.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you think about lighter stuff, like, and I'm just going to give you like a random mix of like lighter stuff, right? So for example, I was super, I was super happy during the Olympics because I've known Allison Felix, the runner, and she's the most, she won the most medals of any U.S. Runner of the history. So I know her brother, Wes. So I was so nervous for her running, and she got another gold and a bronze medal, right? And I watched her in five Olympics do this, and it's what an inspiration. She's a mother, she's an Olympian, and it was just like sports can do that. It could take you to a place where it's obviously serious for the individual, but it also brings people together.
The Swedish women's soccer team got the friggin' silver medal
in soccer.
They were this close to gold, but that was a beautiful moment.
Amazing, exactly. And everybody brought people together, and so we needed that. And I was just, you know... Ajax, the Dutch soccer team, they dedicated the kit to Bob Marley, right? So Bob Marley is now an ambassador for Ajax City because Amsterdam was his city. Like, he loved Switzerland in Europe, and he loved Amsterdam, right? So Ajax came out, and I'm like, you can't, like, you got me forever now. They just sent me the shirt, and I was just texting Ziggy to tell him, so, you know, and I was like, we need silly moments like that. You know, I had a my friend.
We need joy.
We need joy, Marcus. I took my son Zion to my friend's ice cream pop up. Right, just small moments. So I'm just looking for moments like that where it's like, it's some stuff on a global level, like Olympic, but some was just like joy, just finding summer joy. And they did an Ethiopian flavor at the ice cream pop-up, right? And I was like, what was that?
Not coffee. Did they have some berbere in there?
Coffee.
Or some coffee.
Coffee and honey, right? So just shit like that. Shout out to Sugar Hill, to Sugar Hill's Creamery. And of course...
another highlight of the summer, I gotta say, the verses between the Lox and Dipset. Woo!
Yeah.
Jadakiss.
Yeah.
You know, that also kind of was a big, yeah, it's something we were talking about.
I feel bad for the young guys. You can't go up against Jada and the Locks like that. You can't. Like, it's stage presence.
I just like it. He was just like, boom, you know. Yeah, but Cameron and him are kind of, you know, they're on equal levels. Yeah. They're, you know, they're uptown. Okay, the Locks are from Yonkers. And you know, Dipset is Harlem, but still, man, I was just a dope hip hop moment.
It really was a dope hip hop moment.
So, and just watching it, it just made me remember that for me, I mean, you know, for the world of people who have dedicated their lives to hip hop culture, New York City is Mecca, mm-hmm, you know, it mm-hmm. is the epicenter. And this kind of brought it back,
yeah,
that it still is the epicenter, even though hip hop is global culture today. But
so I want to ask you, okay, Jason, tell me about, give me a quick hit. How does one put a concert tour together in the middle of a pandemic? Because that's the challenge that you and your team have. Did you do the same lineup of songs? Were all the concerts outside? Did you use the same musicians? Like, tell me about the whole experience.
Well, first of all, we just found out June 1st that concerts would be allowed 100 people at a distance inside and a maximum, I think, of 600 people outside.
Okay.
And then they, after a couple of weeks, they opened up for even more people outside, also distance and sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had to be sitting down. Just in the space of time between June 1st, when that restriction was lifted, till about June 10th, when the whole tour was booked, was crazy because, first of all, fees had gone down by 75%,
wow,
of course, because, you know, you can't sell the same amount of tickets, then, yeah, you can't pay the fees to bands and artists. So touring with them was just not an option, mm-hmm, at that time. Just too many of us. It's just like,
and how many people is it about in Dam? Like, is it 12, 14?
Well, Dam is eight people in the band plus me. Usually we have a guest vocalist. Mm-hmm. So it's about a good 9-10 people just on stage, and then about 5 technicians, 2 truck drivers, 2 bus drivers.
Yeah.
So we're about a 20 round numbers, we're about 20 people.
Damn.
At any given moment.
Damn runs
it's
deep.
Yeah, no, it's a whole ecosystem, as we've spoken of culture. It's everything from the person that rents out the lights, mm-hmm, to the guy who's the light technician, mm-hmm, to the guitar player, to the keyboard player, to the, you know, to the shops that sell the instruments. Everyone is affected by it. Anyway, but I'd done 2 streaming gigs, one in December and one in May with small jazz trio called Masaka Trio, run by a really talented young man.
I like the name, Masaka.
Yeah. I can't shout him out enough. Mats Masaka Sandal, you know, bass player. And he put together this band. It's drums, piano, and bass. And we also invited an amazing soul and singer, Esther Shirabo, one of the most beautiful voices in Sweden right now, only 26 years old, and just so full of talent. And two, you know, one tour manager and a sound technician, and then we were good to go. I'd say we played inside twice for a very small amount of people. And that was in Gothenburg at Nefertiti.
That's very, very special ground for
yeah,
me, because all
it is,
has been like a
it
culture
is.
Mecca for 20 years in G-Berg. So
yeah, yo, it's the one of the oldest, if not the oldest, jazz club still running in Sweden. And it was just, we had, you know, for me, we did 2 nights there because there were only 100 people that could come in. And at the same time, Marcus, the city was there giving out fines to the to Nefertiti, yeah, because the tables were too close. 50,000 crowns, so that's about $5,000 per pop, a little more, $5,500 per pop. Yet and still, the owner was like, fuck it, we're doing it, you know. But that second night at Nef was easily top 10 concert experience for me, and I've done a couple over the past 29 years. The biggest thing for me, Marcus, the biggest thing for me was that, you know, since I was 17, I've never taken a break from being on stage this long. Mm-hmm. When after March 15th last year, and the shock of not being able to do a drop of Midnight in New York, coming back to Sweden, grieving that by, you know, cooking food, taking care of my daughter, and also writing a rap verse every day, and then going into the studio and recording an album, I just kind of dealt with it, pivoted, adjusted. I didn't think too much about what it was that I was missing being on stage, what it was that people would ask me, don't you miss being on stage? And I, you know, shallowly answer, yeah, sure. But really in my heart, I hadn't reflected on what exactly it was that maybe I missed. It wasn't until July 31st, the first performance I did on this tour, the first show I'd done since I was at Ginny's at Red Rooster, February 24th. That was the last time I'd been on stage prior to that. That it just hit me, you know, and it just became super, it was super emotional. It hit me while I was on stage, that shit. Being on stage has been my North Star, you know. It's like I said, on stage, it's been my church, it's been my religion, it's been the place that I go to connect to a higher, to look and try to connect to a higher spirit, to channel that. And really, during these 18 months, it's like a whole part of my soul has withered. And it hasn't, because I've found meaningful things to do other than be on stage, obviously. But nothing that gave me that same thing that being on stage has given me. And from that, and that was gig number one. And I, you know, I could barely do the last song because I was tearing up. Because I was just realizing this, that revelation was coming to me in real time. I managed to finish the song, and then I was like, shit, okay, what if this happens tomorrow again, you know, for the next show? And it did, and it kept on happening. And it just made this tour, these, you know, I did 16 dates, and it just made this tour very, very special on a deeper level than pre-pandemic touring that I took for granted much more. We have this machine of 20 people rolling out, you know, funk, soul, and hip-hop music at high volumes. Now I'm touring with a jazz band, three-piece, one singer and myself. Everybody's sitting down. It's slowed down. There's time between the songs to talk about the context of the songs, to talk about the hard time that we've all moved through, to talk about, you know, what it means to be Afro-Swedish in Sweden, to just, I don't know, catharsis, cleanse, heal, bleed, cry. It, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's good. I think, you know, I've been I'm thinking through, you know, I'm preparing myself and getting ready for our new restaurant that we're going to do most likely in spring now, right? Because it takes, with permits and COVID and everything, it takes such time. But,
yeah,
you know, I start even about, you know, I was listening to the producer, Brian Eno. He's talked about why as humans, why do we create art? We're the only, why do we create music? Why do create, why does good food matter?
Why do paintings matter?
Yeah. So for me, it's sometimes when I start something, it's very important to go to the core from it. Like, why does this matter? Because I know once we project it out to the world, just like when you drop an album, when I do something, I know it's going to impact, and it's going to impact for a long time. Like I went back and looked at the 2 years before we opened Red Rooster, right? And the trampoline that Rooster has taken my team and us to. And then I feel like I'm in that moment right now, right? Where I'm, this, the trampoline is the moment before we established the restaurant, the space, the food. I'm taking all of this in, right? The environment looks the way it does. Okay, that means that we got to go more plant-based forward. We can't move forward like this. Sustainability can't be a parenthesis over in the corner. It's got to be the center of the plate, right? I think about, like, who's working in there, what is the vibe that we need to set with the staff, what is the vibe that's going to be on the customer, what is the sonic going to feel. So this is it's such an important time right? Because once you're in emotion, it's operation and it's all those logistic stuff. But this is a very pure time for me. And I'm in my head and just thinking about this and even going through, you know, getting ready. It's the pre-step. So basically the way I tour with my stuff, right? So next week, and I'm doing a pop-up in Tennessee at a place called Blackberry Mountains, where I'm going to be on a farm, cook with my guys. We're going to ask questions around portion size. Meat, animal protein will not be in the center of the plate. Cooking it from a completely different point of view, right? And I'm going to do basically what I call like get to know yourself tour, right? So I'm going to do 7 to 8 pop-ups around the country where I'm just trying out material, like a musician, like a stand-up comedian that is just trying out the materials, right? Some's going to work and some is not going to work. So just that is even... But every time you throw something new out there and you're open to fail, you get so much back, you know, and that is, I think, the learning process of, you know, I've worked for 25 years now versus when I started, where you were always nervous about, you know, trying something that was different. For me now, it's just like, let's share it, let's try it, let's ask questions. And because I do know once the restaurant's open and we project and we bring media and we do all this stuff, kids going to come out of that restaurant and they're going to say, I worked here and therefore I'm opening my own place. So that's the trajectory. It's got to come out of good. It's got to come out of a healing place. It's got to come out of a deliciousness, but a 360 deliciousness. So it's a very unique time for a chef and for myself right now.
I mean, it must be such a creative time too, like your most alive time, I guess.
It's, you know, I find myself constantly running out of time because like I think about it, like I was driving back from SAG. It's a 2-hour drive. And I like when I got to Harlem, I was like, I'm not even half done. I didn't even know that it's taken 2 hours, right? Even this morning when I woke up, I had a meeting and I was like, oh, I was 15 minutes late to the meeting. And the meeting is literally around the corner from where I live, the breakfast meeting. You're a zombie. You're really not. You're really just in this space, right? Yeah. And then that's the thinking part about it. But then I calm down once I do the cooking part of it, because then it's really about craft. Then the craftsman in you take over and me takes over, right? Because the thinking is sometimes where it's like a mad scientist thinking about it. But then once you start cooking, you got to fall back on just like you know your bars, you know what I mean? And it's a crazy time, but it's an important time. And eventually once that's set, I'm then going to go to the walls and the art and then that space. And then after that, reference point in terms of music comes in and then table setting.
Decoration, I guess.
Yeah, of course. All of reference
points. I mean, because Red Rooster, the way I feel about Red Rooster as someone who's been to several of your, you know, homes throughout the years, Rooster, what you just take half a step inside Rooster and it's like, this is Marcus. Yeah. I'm at Marcus's. Yeah. You know, just the decor, the how you've curated the art, what everything that's there is you, and it's there for a reason. And I imagine this new place is maybe something totally different or something other. You know,
but
can I ask you as a chef, you know, because one of the things I realized that I haven't gotten anywhere else in my life other than being on stage is those moments that I've had the good fortune to experience several times and that I always seek when stepping onto stage is the moment where I kind of lose myself in the music, where a part of the conscious mind is gone. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, the mechanics are working. I know the bars, I know, you know, my body is moving. But I'm not thinking. I'm not in my head. My ego is just unplugged and I'm just connected to something else. You know, I lose myself in it. Do you Do you feel that as a chef? I mean, when you're in there, like,
yeah,
cooking?
I mean, definitely. I mean, there is steps to this, right? Like when you're in that zone where you, it's funny, if I cook a tasting menu, right, I always think about the same song. When we prep, we play a lot of hip hop and a lot of, I always let the younger cooks decide what the playlist is going to be because it's a good back and forth, right? And I learn about new music that way. But once I'm doing a high-end dinner tasting menu after dish after dish, I constantly think about, there's an REM song that I always think about. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes everybody's hurt and all of that. And I see him coming out of that video when he walks again with the cars. And it's constantly, I don't know, that song always pops out. I think it has a calming impact on me. It calms me down. And it's there is, you're in a zone and you just start thinking about sonically about different things. And I need that to be like, okay, these are the steps that we're going to do. And you communicate it with your team exactly what needs to happen. And then it's also this beautiful part of just letting go, right? Once you send the dish, it has nothing to do with your team anymore. The receiver is the guest. And sometimes they love it and sometimes they don't. You know what I mean? You know, and that's just a good part of that dialogue back and forth, you know?
And I mean, that I can really relate to because, you know, especially on stage, and especially when people are sitting down, you can really see who's in the audience, what they're feeling about it. And you see somebody maybe pick up their phone or somebody get up and leave, you know? And it's just, and you know, you got to march on. But yeah, it's that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was watching you at a moment where I felt like one of those moments where you are like the perfect bridge, for example. And it's like when you performed the Paul Simon song, like Al.
You can call me Al.
And I just thought that only Jason can do this. Like there's only one guy that can do that. Right, it was a very prestigious moment, the Polar Prize, which is a huge music prize in Sweden and all over the world, actually. And then him being American, you're performing it not with a Swedish accent, right? And you really are the only person that can bridge Sweden and America in that way. And I was like, my wife and I was looking at it online, and I was like, look at Jason, he's in his zone. Like, look at Jason, he's not even thinking. It's just so natural in that stage. You're even more natural in that stage to me than if you and I are just talking about something, right? Like you're so natural in that moment. And you know, it's Sweden, so the audience, they're in their fucking tuxedos because it's a big deal night. so the audience is not going to just jam and bum rush the stage. It's not that moment. It's a little bit more structured moment. But they're grooving, and that's like in the end I'm like, oh damn, he got like these sweets to groove. I'm like, that has got to be like the biggest moment, you know,
as much as they can. And again, it's getting in that zone, it's losing yourself in it, knowing exactly what you need to do and how to do it and having trained enough, and then just going in and forgetting all that. Don't be in your head, be in your heart.
But did you see Paul Simon then, or did you just, you didn't look?
Yeah, he was right in front of me, literally like 6 feet in front of me.
Do you acknowledge him, or do you just say, hey, I got to do my...
I don't think, because that would be turning my mind back on, and he's seated right next to the king, who's not really kind of, doesn't have one of those auras that really like, you know what I mean? He doesn't like light rooms on fire in that way. to just put it diplomatically. So trying not to, like, you kind of look through people in a way, or look slightly above them, and just, I'm looking, but my eyes aren't really taking in information, you know?
I'm learning so much. It's just too much.
Yo-Yo Ma was dope, because Paul Simon was pretty stone-faced, because I think he's also a very kind of, I think he's, at his
introvert.
Core, a shy person, a very private person. Yeah. So to him, I'm sure he was as uncomfortable as anyone else was in that room. You know, maybe he was more uncomfortable than anyone else. But Yo-Yo Ma was really feeling it, you know, and he was like, you know, he was jamming.
Nice.
So I got some energy from him. But other than that, you always find the people in the crowd that are going to give you some energy because that's the exchange you need. You know,
what are you talking about? Like when I do demos, I always feel bad for that person. You on the to the left on row four.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you and you on row 16. And they're like, why are you looking at me? Because I have to have two people from two different corners and I just got to go like through my knife skills, through my stuff, what I'm doing. And they have no idea how important they are at that moment for me. And they're like, why is he staring at me?
You got to find somebody to connect to because it's all about that connection, man.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And now, you know, traveling around Sweden with a band, maybe five people on stage, one white guy, the rest of us are BIPOC, Afro-Swedes, you know, and people are sitting down. It's very intimate. The stages are much lower than they usually are. People are sitting down. I was saying that to the band that, you know, okay, we're stepping out in front of, you know, this a group of strangers that we don't know. And that can be sometimes make you feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
But be aware that we are in Sweden. The people in the crowd are even more uncomfortable than we are because they've also got five people they don't know staring at everything they do. And it was really beautiful because at some points I felt like I had the whole crowd kind of locked in.
Yeah.
Like nobody's going to like get up and go right now because it would be too, it'd be embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be a what are you doing moment. Plus, of course, I rely on that, you know, we're catching them with the vibes we're sending out, but
yeah,
it was just funny. It's a funny cultural thing.
I caught it. I thought it was beautiful. And, you know, that's what we do as creatives. We find the best moments. You know, I was thinking about as I'm gearing up for the Met Gala and, you know, the food this year is going to be all plant-based.
That's a pretty big deal, Marcus.
Yeah,
have you done it before?
All plant-based. No, I've never done it before, but all plant-based. Mm. And speaking to, and the other goal here was to present some undiscovered talent. They're super talented. Each chef here is super talented, but maybe their star hasn't been, you know, some of them are not as well known as I think they deserve. So it's been fascinating to speak to the chef, you know, go through the food. We've done several tastings. We're almost there. And it's also a sign of saying to New York City, hey, we're back. Like, I know it's a fashion event. I know it's a big, people think like, oh, it's just an event. It's more than that because it's at the Met. Mm. It's together with Vogue. And it's also saying to the world, saying, hey, New York City's lights are back on. US Open, Fashion Week. It kicks off this whole energy of fall season of, you know, museums being back open. All of these culture centers that we need. You know, and speaking
are
about
you, have you been to the Met Gala as just as a
I have.
Yeah, yep. As a guest. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I have. And but
it must be a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, no, it's
as someone who's just seen it on magazines and on TV.
It's cool, but cooking it's gonna be cooler. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited.
Yeah, cause you get to do your thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and it's exciting.
Can you give us any hints about what you're, you know, what kind of produce that you're leaning into to kind of cook this meal, you know, for I won't be there, so I won't tell anyone.
It's going to be delicious, and we it's all about also getting in like hinting at things that are healthy, but also come from our, because the chefs, majority of them are Black and BIPOC, the majority. We have Filipino chef, we have Caribbean chefs, we have all, you know, like just Fabian is Mexican American, so, but also bringing in health in a way. I'm bringing a little bit of sea moss in there. I'm bringing turmeric in there. You know, we're sprinkling with berber in there. Would you getting our messages through?
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. I know you got the berber with you. That's back that pocket.
yeah. So stuff like that has been a lot of fun. Yes. But
So dairy is out too?
No dairy. No.
Dairy is out. No dairy. So vegan. Entirely plant based.
Yeah. So it's gonna be, and it's about sending a message that you can do that. That this is not, it's like, you know, graffiti or hip hop. It's not that thing in the corner anymore. It is the thing. You know what I mean? And that's my point. It's like when you ask someone that was born around 2000, the majority is probably plant based eating. They're flexitarians, right? They eat maybe 3-4 days a week vegetarian, and then animal protein is just. It's just something smaller on the side. And that is also much better for us as humans to eat. It's better for the environment. It's better for all of us. You know, thinking about style and thinking about, you know, impact. Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts just passed. And I just thought about legacy and stage. And I could just imagine how many concerts and how much impact, and he's traveled all over the world and always so stylish with his like 3-piece suit drumming. So
he really was the kind of the odd man out in Rolling Stone.
Yeah,
so, I would say.
So resting beats, resting flavors, resting power.
Yeah.
A big shout out to Mr. Charlie Watts.
Definitely. And lest we forget, my brother, shout out to the inimitable, the amazing hip hop icon and early pioneer and god, Biz Markie,
yes,
who passed in July, you know, who with his originality also, and just, you talk about joy, you know, who just brought joy and fun and humor, but also rhythm, groove, and just originality to the table.
I love that you picked that up on him, because he brought joy and fun to hip hop too.
When
everybody when everyone was serious,
exactly,
and just like standing like this, he brought humor. Yeah. He made you smile. He made you wink. He made you
picking
like,
boogers, man. You know, and that's the kind of originality. That's that joy that hip hop really comes from, moving the party, moving the crowd. You know, way before it. You know, hip hop was an answer to the gang violence of New York. Mm-hmm. It was the peacemaker of the gangs of New York. And so rest in power, Biz Markie, gone but never forgotten.
So Jason, before we close here, in food, we very often close with desserts. So you end up on a sweet note. How is it in music? How do you close a concert? How did you do it this summer?
It's always different. It depends on the crowd. It depends on what type of concert you're doing. You know, if you got thousands of people standing up dancing, you might end with something that's going to just raise the roof then just poof, and then we're off, you know. The way landscape looked this summer, you know, we closed it off with a very, very somber moment. You know, we closed it off with a song that I wrote a couple of years ago called Annie Leibovitz about basically trying to capture everything of what life is about, memory, how we remember, and how we remember what we really want out of life as we're you know, speeding down the highway of it. And together with Masaka Trio and Esther Shirabo, we turned it into a prayer.
Wow.
You know, I spent the intro talking and the middle eight, that is the bridge between the second chorus and the third verse, talking to really land a context in it. And it's just a very, very beautiful moment. And it sounded like this.
Go rakt in i mitt hjärta. Rakt in i min själ. Jag har spelat denna låten många gånger med Leo, Brans, Bossa och Ester. Och det Det blir samma grej varje gång. Ja.
Well, Marcus, man, I've missed being in conversation with you. I think about you a lot, and it's just so good to be back on this moment to upload, offload, unload, ventilate, and speak to you, brother.
Thank you so much, Jason. Always good to talk to you.
And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We're back. Peace out, everybody.
David, min kyrka, min religion, mitt stora syskon, min extra förälder, min polstjärna, mitt existensberättigande, det som har gett mitt liv.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.